Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Gotta Thatch. Drag is the new
thatch. What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here, and we are back again. It is time for your weekly recap episode here at Flame On. I am excited because I'm being joined by another voice that you all know so well. Someone who did the recaps with me. I think the last time we did weekly stuff, we did the recaps together. And I'm excited to bring him back for our penultimate episode, our penultimate recap. We are almost at the finale, and I'm sad. I mean, there's like 14 other Drag Race franchises I could be watching, and I am. But I'm really sad that this one is ending. But everybody listening, welcome Eric back to the recap. What's up, Eric?
Hello. How's it going?
I am good. I am rocking my legendary legend stars. Yes. I was gifted a legendary legend star by a friend of the pod, Jamie, who was on one of my recaps earlier this season. I also have a repeater badge, so just call me the Viv.
Is that the season 3 repeater badge?
I have no clue. I think so, because it's a lovely teal color. It's gorge. Uh-huh. And then my legendary legend star has silver on it. But I guess he had gotten tired of hearing me talk about waiting until DragCon to get my legendary legend star. And he and Kevin, his pupper, as he said, Kevin went shopping. And I got my gifts in the mail yesterday before I watched this episode of Drag Race that we're about to talk about. So I figured I'd wear them for
Shay
the recap.
You and Shay were in the same boat.
Yeah, well, he was like, you need to open your gift before you watch the show. And he said that, yeah, he's like, I didn't want Shay to be the only queen in Chicago to have one star. I was like, oh, I joined the One Star Alliance. Yes. So yes, I too am in Chicago and have one star. But we are going to dive into this episode here in just a minute. But before we do, I've got to ask you, because I've been asking everybody, this is like just become the tradition now, because I've been rotating out co-hosts for the recaps. We haven't really discussed the season as a whole. So not a poll, but a whole.
What are a goal?
I mean, thank you, Melania. What are your thoughts on the season up to episode 10? How are you liking it?
It's fantastic. The format has allowed the queens to come in and just do some amazing work without the... Yes, there's pressure, obviously, to win the challenge, but without that overlying fear of, oh my gosh, I'm going to get sent home. It allows them to take some more chances and potentially make some mistakes, you know, and not have to worry about... I mean, yes, Jinx obviously wants to win design challenges, but, you know, losing a design challenge isn't going to get her kicked out of the competition. So...
Exactly.
I don't mind that there's not really any drama. As much as they tried to force kind of unnecessary drama with the whole platinum plunger that's gold whole blockage situation, which does add some fun dynamic to it. But yeah, the queens just like each other and they're just having fun. And I like to see that. I don't need the forced drama of the regular seasons in my reality television.
I agree with you. Drama happens naturally, and when it does, and that's why, like, I still enjoy Drag Race, and sometimes it seems like I don't when I talk about it, but I really do still enjoy Drag Race. But the queens, ever since like season 7, 8, maybe 9, like in that ballpark, they really became aware of how big the show was getting and the social media backlash. So a lot of them edit themselves and produce themselves into these stories where the earlier seasons didn't have that. They were able to be more of who they actually are. And as people, as queer people, as drag queens, that cattiness is going to come out, and there's going to be those moments and that tension. I mean, look at like Laganja on her season originally, Gia on her original season, season 6. They were really pushing themselves. That was the first kind of little bit of seeing queens trying to be something more than what they were, or something different than what they were, and it causing natural tension. Where now production is obviously whispering in the ears of the girls, and this isn't. It's, I mean, I guess there's a little shade involved.
You have to make a show. You have to make a show.
Exactly. Yeah, the storylines that they're trying to push, but they're going to, you know, they're whispering in the girls' ears, hey, all right, so who's going to talk about this today? Or, hey, why don't you go ask her about this? And you're going to get those very special episode moments. You're going to get those moments of shade and cattiness. And yeah, to your point, it's so much production involved in it that this season definitely, it's a breath of fresh air, because yes, there are some things that they're interjecting and trying to stir up, like Viv stirring up the drama with Jinx, like, you know, yeah, those things happen. But to see queens, 7 out of 8 queens who I really like, on my television week after week has been phenomenal. So I agree with you there. Have there been any standout moments from any of the challenges up through week 10 that stay with you long after you've finished watching?
Well, I think you had the best snatch game in Drag Race history. And I think you had basically the best roast in Drag Race history in this season. So those are probably my biggest two standout moments. But also the Dragulation speeches were also entertaining. So to me, the comedy stuff has been great. Although I don't know about that whole Santa school for girls, but
yeah, that was interesting.
Also kind of the created viral dance challenge, TikTok, do what you want thing.
The dance challenge that was really a branding challenge. That was a thing that happened. A fever dream of what happened. Yeah.
I mean, it ended up producing some good results. And having the designing women rant as the lip sync was just fantastic. The night that the lights went out in Georgia. Because so many queens now are mixing in music along with spoken dialogue. So in their normal gigs. So it's nice to have some spoken word dialogue, as because this is what they do in real life. So to get to see that was good.
Yeah, for sure. And Bob is the host of the Pit Stop. Did you watch last week's with Joel Kim Booster?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he even mentions that like some of the most memorable ones or some of the earliest performances that he saw was Spoken Word Incorporated, because they were talking about they would love to see more spoken word lip syncs, but maybe mix it in with music. And he was saying that like Bob's performances were some of the earliest ones that he remembers seeing that were music that incorporated spoken word. And listeners out there, if you have not watched these videos of Bob the Drag Queen from, oh God, I want to say like maybe 2008-ish, 2010, maybe a little bit later. I forget when Bob started doing drag. But if you look up Bob the Drag Queen, Crazy, I believe is one of them. Mm-hmm. And Bob the Drag Queen, I'm a Slave for You. Those are two incredible performances from Bob the Drag Queen that incorporate music and a medley, a mix of different songs, but also some amazing spoken word and have a message behind them. So I recommend those very much. If you have not seen them already, go watch them.
Another good artist that does similar stuff that has videos out there is Eva Destruction. Who was on
Dragula.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of her older videos are out there. And she does like 7-8 minute mixes of stuff. And they're just great performances out there.
I'm going to have to check those out. Maybe after I watch the Pit Stop for this episode, because we're recording a little bit earlier. We're recording this recap earlier than normal for me. Normally, it's like a Monday or a Tuesday when we record. We're recording on Saturday afternoon now, and I have not had a chance to watch the Pit Stop. One of the things, since you mentioned the roast, yes, I agree with you. Probably one of the best roasts overall that the show has ever seen. But can I tell you, I think it was at the beginning of this episode, or maybe it was Untucked. I don't remember where I heard it, but I know I heard it on the show. I was mad at myself for not doing this at the beginning of the recap for the roast, because I've done it before when we've talked, or just even in general. But Farrah Moan's, let's get this roast a cooking. Like, that has become a staple anytime we talk roasts. And Shea Coulee actually said it on camera. Yeah. And it made me smile so much, because I was like, that was her season. That was her, like, the roast she was a part of. And I lived. It was so adorable to, like, have that reference and have that callback. And I just, oh my God, it was so, so much fun. Let's get this roast a cooking.
Yeah, I mean, and everybody performed. I think, well, Jada didn't necessarily do great, but she tried her best, and she had great spirit and was able to laugh at herself, and that kind of saved it. But I mean, even Trinity did a great job saying all those jokes that Jinx wrote for her.
I mean, yeah. She did very good reading those jokes that were written. Oh, yeah, that was what was it? Willem on Race Chaser was like, I want to congratulate Trinity's joke writers. Yes.
And the runway theme from last week, the All Glowed Up, was just,
oh my God,
so fantastic. Oh my
God. Best fucking runway I think I've ever seen on that stage ever. Oh my God, it was so good. And Brian Mozo was my guest on the recap last week, and we gushed about them. Like, literally, it was the first time I think on any of the recaps that we've talked about every single queen's look. But that's how much, like, the runway impressed us, was that we had to say something about every single look. it wasn't just like, hey, here's a couple of high points, here's a couple of low points, and a couple of people we just forget about, you know, because they were good, yeah. but it didn't stick out either way. And literally every single look on that runway was incredible. The lighting, the camera work, the cinematography of that, they were really, they said to themselves, this is our sizzle reel. This is what we're submitting for the Emmys next year, because we are going to get an Emmy for lighting, for the cinematography, all of that. This is every single one of those technical Emmys. This is what we're showing. Let me ask you this before we move into this next episode, because Mozo and I were in agreement. But I know that there were some of my Drag Race watching friends out there that did not agree. Do you believe, Mr. Eric, do you believe that Trinity should have been top two for the roast?
I think that the other person who would I would have put with Jinx, because Jinx obviously won the roast.
Hands down.
The other person I would have put in the top spot with her would have been Raja.
I was a fan of Raja's roast as well.
I think Monet in the past has been fantastic at it, and it wasn't that her jokes were bad this time around. I think maybe the editing hurt her because she had that one super long joke about the Vivian that ate up all of her editing time, so they couldn't add in more of her funny jokes. But as far as what they didn't want to me, I mean,
I'm just saying,
it kind of felt like she told a joke about a recipe, but it was like when you go and try and look up a recipe online and they give you their whole thesis about life and how eating this recipe makes you feel before they tell you what ingredients are in it. And you're like, I just want to know how to make the thing. I don't care about what you felt when you ate it. I think it just looks good in the picture and I want to make it.
That's why the jump to recipe button is so important on those pages. Jump to punchline.
Yeah.
It gets butter and eggs and flour and sugar and then makes a sheet cake.
And then eats the sheet cake.
And then it gets better. I still loved it. I thought it was a fucking...
I thought it was a funny joke, but it's just interesting to tell that joke when the Vivian actually lost weight from her season to this season. So you're telling a fat joke about somebody who lost weight to get there. So, in that way, I know a lot of people love Monet and Monet's roast, but I would not have put her in the top two for that roast.
Viv was also, so it's weird because I like the Vivian. I was never like, she wasn't my front runner for UK season one, even though I knew she was going to win it.
Yeah.
But I think she's extremely talented. And even though she was coming for my girl Jinx, and that's the only point where I'm like, have less stars. I need you to not be near my Jinxie. But honestly, like, I think that she could have been up there as top two. Like, Viv, Raja, and Monet were my other favorites. And Jinx. So, like, that was my four. That was my top four.
Yeah.
So, I feel not that Trinity wasn't funny, because Trinity had good jokes and was able to deliver them decently, but I feel like that was very much a storyline thing, and it was done very much for what we're going to talk about in this episode. They were playing long game in these last two episodes. They were playing a very long short game. They knew what they were doing. They knew how this was. They knew how they were mapping this out, and they knew what it was going to come down to, because they needed a payoff. And let's get into that payoff. Let's dig into episode number 11 of All Stars season 7. This is the, let me see if I can get this name correct. The Drag Race Gives Back Variety Extravaganza. And I got that right because I'm reading it off of the Drag Race fandom wiki page. I was very happy early in the season because the title of the episode was concise and it fit in the title, like in the space that I have to title an episode for this show.
I mean, this one you're just going to have to abbreviate a lot. And well, I mean, also the last one, the Kennedy Davenport Center Hall of Shade roast. Before we move on to episode 11, I just have to acknowledge the fact that Wintergreen was fantastic.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh my God. So good. But yeah, the Kennedy Davenport Center Honors Hall of Shade roast. The roast part was left off the title on the show, but still, like, that was a lot. And then, the Drag Race Gives Back Variety Extravaganza. Before that, we had Dance Like a Drag Queen, Santa School for Girls, Legendary Legend Looks. Like, they were succinct and fit into it because I didn't have to think of a title. Literally, I could just put the show title. And then, starting last week, they were like, you know, fuck your drag because you are not going to, you're going to have to put it down. I think the title of last week's recap was the Kennedy Davenport Center. Like, it was like, that was it. Like, that's all I could fit. This week will probably be the variety extravaganza. I don't know. It's going to have to be something short because they're adding way too many words to the titles here.
Just put talent show because that's what it was. Yeah. I mean,
it's amazing how they've gone away from calling it. They stopped calling them talent shows, and now it's like variety show with not a lot of variety involved in it.
Because it's always questionable if you actually get talent or not.
That part right there. So so let's kick off the episode where the queens are back in the workroom. They are discussing the fact that nobody's blocked. Shay is very downtrodden and saying that essentially there is no chance for her to be in the top four because of her one star alliance of herself. Now that, you know, Monet has more stars. And essentially is like, do I get to just take next week off? Which I thought was hysterical. But then you have Miss Jada trying to hype her girl up, trying to hype her friend up and tell her you never know what can happen. It's Drag Race. There's always twists. There could be a
foreshadowing.
Way for her.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a way that you can be in the top four.
It's
can
if
I
you
tell
take
you?
My space.
Oh, not even. She jumped over her. She knocked her out the way. But can I tell you this? One of the things that's come up so many times on these past 10 recap or 9 recaps, because we did a double episode start. One of the things that's come up on the recaps we do here, that's come up when I watch like the Bussy Queen videos or like the Pit Stop, has been Mario Party. It's like that, because as soon as you introduce stars, the age range that is the loudest about like recapping the shows, That's where our wheelhouse is at Mario Party.
Right.
It's come up so much in them, but it's never come up on the show. It's never been mentioned. It's never been something that's come up until this episode when they mentioned Mario Party. And I was like, oh my God, they were even thinking it while they were filming the season. And it made me laugh so much. I was like, yeah, this would be really interesting if they just started like handing out bonus stars. Did a steal a star? I don't know, something. Anything. But the girls start de-dragging. Trinity carries or pulls Jada around the room. I didn't understand that. It was funny. I didn't understand what was going on, though.
Yeah.
But the girls were cracking up. And I, you know, seeing these queens in a competition like this, where, as you said earlier, there is still pressure because they want to win $200,000. They put money into this. They took time out of their lives and their careers to come and film this for, let's come up with an absurd number of days and see if we can't trend like Ray Chaser did. They filmed this in 17 hours. But seriously, so 12 episodes, they probably filmed this in about 24 days. They were probably gone for about 30 days.
Yeah.
Roughly. So like a month. So at this point, like, there is all that pressure. They took a month off of their schedule. They spent all of this money. Because, you know, the other runways were all fantastic as well. However, you know that they all spent a shit ton of money on that last, the all glowed up runway. So they want to win that $200,000. Whether or not they knew it was $200,000, I'm sure they did going into it. But they were all told, look surprised when Ruth says it's $200,000.
Well, they probably filmed it four times to get the different camera angles as well.
True. But, you know, they want to win this money because not only is it the title is important, but they're also, you know, spending so much money. You want to recoup that money. And yes, this is going to help incorporate touring, and it's going to bring some of these queens back to the forefront of the pop culture mindset. Raja, Jinx has been doing so much, but she's also very much... stage productions. She hasn't been it's not a thing to go to clubs as much anymore and do viewing parties and do all of these things. She's got her production company with Dayla. They do all of these amazing shows. You know, we've seen her do her one woman show or her shows with Major Scales. So this is putting her back in front of a different audience than she might normally have, so that she'll get these other bookings that will help, you know, bring in some extra money. But somebody like Jada, who won over Zoom at the beginning of like the pandemic, she didn't get to really tour after her win. So getting her back in front of the spotlight is phenomenal. You know, so there is that pressure there, but to see them have this moment of just kind of being able to have fun is great as well, because that's why we love these queens. One less for me, but you know, that's besides the point.
And just getting to see Raja compete again.
Yeah.
It's nice to see her do more than just complain about people's questionable fashion choices.
Very true. Very that with Raja and Delta on the Mom Podcast Network. It is not a new day in the workroom, according to Evie. I still don't understand where she was going with all the double negatives in her confessional chair moment. But the queens are back in the room. Rue enters and tells them that they are going to be performing in the Drag Race Gives Back Variety Extravaganza. And that in addition to the traditional $10,000 tip, they are also the winner of the lip sync is going to get a $30,000 cash donation to the charity of their choice. But that's not all. Oh no, there's more. The top two all-stars in this week's Maxi Challenge, since no one is blocked, the top two each get three legendary stars.
Gasp! which you know in the script for this, which they had written before the season began, it just said, and the winner will get X number of stars, because it just depended on how the math would work out throughout the season. Because if two people actually won every challenge and had like 5 stars apiece, then the final challenge would be worth 5 stars.
This is worth 12 stars. But this is that twist Jada was referencing and foreshadowing in the scene prior. And Shea Coulee goes from being downtrodden to having a renewed vigor in her eye. Twinkle is returned to her eye because now there is a chance for her to be in the finale and lip syncing for the crown and the title of Queen of All Queens and $200,000. Mm-hmm. In addition to the variety show, they're also going to join Rue and Michelle on the main stage. I did, you know what's funny? And I guess it's because of COVID when it stopped. It took me a while to realize they're not doing their podcast anymore.
Do they still do a podcast?
I don't think they do.
Because I never listened to it. But
I used to back in like in the day, like the first couple of years that it was out, I listened, and then I kind of went away from it just because, I don't know, I wasn't interested anymore, I guess. But they incorporated it into the show. So instead of the Tic Tac lunch, they would do this, you know, quote unquote podcast interview,
right,
with mics that weren't plugged in. But now they've gone away from that. And I guess part of it, I mean, and they could do it with the 6 foot separation, but I guess because they don't record or with the proximity with COVID when it, you know, when it first hit, I guess that was the impetus to the end of the podcast. Or maybe it's the fact that they are filming so many different shows between Drag Race, All Stars, UK, Down Under, Queen of the Universe. I'm just kind of focusing on Rue and Michelle projects.
Right.
Maybe at that point they were like, you know what? We're just too busy to do this. And I think they may have, because they didn't recap anything. Like, they weren't recapping the show. They were just having, like, just bullshitting amongst themselves. But yeah, either which way, we get a revised, we've now been given a revised Tic Tac lunch from the early seasons. In the before times, before the move to VH1. But I enjoy that. Although it's ridiculous with that bowl of Tic Tacs, like, in the forefront of the shot.
Right.
And then the three of them on stage together.
I mean, they never say that the show is sponsored by TikTok or Tic Tacs, but I can't imagine at this point that they don't give any money.
I don't think they do, because you would think that they would. The Tic Tac logo,
the Tic Tac, it's a brand name.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I mean, considering what season 14 had that giant vat of Tic Tacs that they were like swimming around in. I don't know, but you'd think that they would have, like, they would talk more about Tic Tacs if Tic Tac was the sponsor.
Yeah.
Maybe they just call it even, like an in-kind donation where, hey, you won't have to pay to say the name, because, like, they couldn't say TikTok on the Dance Like a Drag Queen challenge.
Right.
Because they weren't going to pay for the rights to, you know, to be able to say it. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if this is kind of an in-kind thing where they're like, hey, you don't have to pay us to say the name, but we're not going to pay you to be a sponsor. Maybe it's just that kind of deal. And they just say, you know, the Tic Tac lunch. I don't know. Because if there was more of a sponsorship or more of a relationship there, I feel like it would be said more often.
Right, but yeah.
If somebody out there knows, please let us know. Because that we need to know the truth behind the Tic Tac lunch. So this part of the show, the early part of the show, was a little interesting to me because it seemed like they had one conversation, like one long segment with the girls, like talking to each other, that they then cut up into multiple segments to interweave with each of the girls going to the main stage and talking to Rue. Like it wasn't different. Like parts of the workroom, it literally was just this conversation that kept on building and growing that we were just seeing in different parts throughout the course of this first half of the show. Did you have any thoughts on the Tic Tac lunches and the conversations about what the queens are going to be doing for their variety show extravaganza?
Because at this point, all of these queens have kind of had a Tic Tac lunch or some sort of similar conversation a la the podcast before, because they've all been finalists in at least one season, to have this kind of conversation with Rue. So not too much came out in these conversations that kind of hit me in any way, other than kind of Evie's, where it's talking about Evie talking about how the progression in her condition, and also that comes up again on the runway during the critiques. But yeah, that was kind of the only thing that stuck with me. Oh, that and the fact that Raja still has her Tic Tac from season 3, which I thought was fantastic and also made sense. I mean,
yeah, I think, you know, what's funny is I think that came up on Race Chaser, maybe when they were doing their season 3 episodes. Because I think Willa mentioned that Raja still had her Tic Tac from it, and she had, you know, done something with it. And I guess in this, Raja mentioned she put it on her altar. But I
Raja
think
was kind of the reoccurring guest of that season, right? Of Race Chaser.
Oh, the Raja Reflections. Yes.
Yeah.
But I think it just kind of came up because, I mean, Raja is kind of like, I don't want to say, maybe it's weird to kind of say that she is Willem's favorite of all the queens or the winners, but like Raja's always referred to as is it the Diamond Crown Queen when referenced by Willem. And I mean, I know she's not part of their podcast empire and all of that, but and Raja was the reigning when Willem went to go film Drag Race. So
right.
There is a little bit of a tie-in and a connection, and I can understand where there's that much admiration for Raja at that point. Plus, I mean, she was doing all that work with a top model and then coming in and doing Drag Race and winning. So there is a lot of tie-in and connection there. But yeah, I think that might be it. I don't know if it was when they were talking about it, or maybe that was. Maybe they did a Raja Reflections and she talked about it, and then Willem has also mentioned it kind of in the conversations about the Tic Tac lunches at that point in time. Because she might have asked Alaska if she took any Tic Tacs or did anything with it, and they might have had a conversation about it. But yeah, that was fun. Jada, you know, okay, so I wasn't sure like where to put this in the conversation about this episode. I didn't dislike Jada at all. Like, I thought she was super talented, but she wasn't my front runner. Like, she wasn't the one who I thought I thought she had a chance to win for sure, but you know, I personally was pulling for Gigi on the season.
Right.
But watching Jada on this season of Drag Race, All Stars, All Winners, has made me fall in love with her as a person and as a queen. I still don't love the crazy shoulder pieces that she keeps on making for herself, like in the Red, White, and Blue Challenge or the Wheel of Fortune Ball. But her personality has come out so much, and then her kind of having those moments of just feeling like she maybe didn't belong, and just having that vulnerability and that opening up about all that, like, it just endeared her to me so much. And it's just been so lovely to see, and seeing her interaction with Rue and Michelle on the runway in that the Tic Tac lunch. I just thought it was really, really sweet, and it just has made me enjoy her so much as a queen.
Sure, I totally get that. I definitely have a new appreciation for her with the season. I wouldn't call her, I wouldn't say that I've ever thought of her as a front runner to win this season.
No.
Apart from the design challenges, because she really is good at making a garment.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. That legendary legend one, that gold dress that she made was so good. So good.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The other thing that I thought was fantastic was at the end of Jinx's convo with Rue and Michelle, where they were like, help yourself to some Tic Tacs. And she was like, I will. And just went over and like got a handful of Tic Tacs. I was like, first of all, one, feed these girls. Two, like, if you're taking them to like then be able to do something with them afterwards, because maybe on season five you didn't know, like, if this was going to even, like, if you had a chance or it was going to be a thing or whatever it was going to be. Like, I think that's hysterical. And it's so Jinx to do. And I fell in love with it. Aside from the chats on the runway, the other thing that they also went through were the charities that the queens were picking for the donation. Yeah, Planned Parenthood, the Period Project, and a bunch of other ones that I don't have the list here in front of me, unfortunately.
And there were at least three, I think, that dealt with trans issues, which I thought was mm-hmm. really, really nice to see. But all of the charities sounded great.
And I love that they made sure to put the names up, put the website up while they were talking about them to help get them some more exposure through the show and getting that extra bit of attention on these charities, because they're all doing amazing work. And this is something that will hopefully get them some more attention, donations, people going to volunteer to help do things to help spread the message. So I absolutely love it. I think Jiggly Caliente actually even had tweeted out about the fact that, you know, seeing so many trans inclusive charities being mentioned and supported on Drag Race, like, was just amazing. And it's absolutely true. So we go back to the workroom. The girls are getting themselves prepared for the Drag Race Gives Back variety extravaganza. So we know that Jada is lip syncing to an original song. The Vivian is singing a song written by Diane Warren. Evie is lip syncing to an original song. Jinx is singing. Raja is doing a Balinese traditional dance. Mm-hmm. Monet is going to do opera.
Yeah.
In her deep bassy voice. Shay is going to sing an original song.
She's going to perform an original song.
And Trinity is going to lip sync to an original song. What were your thoughts before we even get to the actual performances? Just hearing what they were doing. What were your thoughts? How did this make you feel as far as what they were putting out there that they were going to do before seeing it actually happen?
So as far as the talent show goes, and I'm saying in general across all of the All-Star seasons, and now some of the regular seasons are incorporating it as well. To me, the most interesting ones are not lip syncs. And a lot of prior live vocals have been questionable, which they certainly touch on for Monet. And they cast a lot of shade on her All Stars 4 talent show. I say talent.
I'm not even going to try to mimic it.
Shay did a great job of trying to recreate that in her confessional. So to me, the most interesting one, or that I was excited to see out of the bunch going in, was Raja, because it wasn't, it was more interesting in showing off her culture, and the fact that one of the greatest things I think Gia Gunn's done on Drag Race was her all-star talent show when she did the geisha dance.
Yes. Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to bring up that correlation as well. Regardless of Gia Gunn's other things in life, that performance was fantastic and something that was so unique and so different to the talent show stage.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know that obviously their talent in what gets the people to come to the clubs to see them is always going to be some sort of lip sync performance or live singing, in the case of like Jinx, that's what she does on a regular basis is her live mm-hmm. singing. But I want to see more unique type of talents.
Yeah.
And I mean, not necessarily unique for unique sake, because while it was fun to see Latrice spin a flag, I didn't necessarily think it was great flag spinning. But it was just different. So that made it more entertaining. So I just want to see more different stuff. And as far as when it got to the show, Evie's was a little more different, but it wasn't necessarily, and again, this is through no fault of her own. It's her condition, and she touched on it during the critique, that her body just can't do some of the stuff that it used to do. But I thought Evie was going to come out there and do a lot more crazy, flippy, contortionist type stuff. And which, yeah. I mean, obviously she was contorted to be in that suitcase mm-hmm. thing. But yeah.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I am getting a little tired of the lip sync in the variety shows. We saw this with the second episode of season 14, where the majority of the performances were lip syncs. I'm glad to see that there's more production involved. I'm glad to see that there are background dancers, there are props, there are things on the stage, things to make it more entertaining than just a queen out there lip syncing. And queens can be amazingly entertaining while lip syncing. It's the majority of what a lot of them do, and that's great, but show me something a little bit different. Like, I know they ragged on Mattymorphosis a lot about how kind of downtrodden it was, but coming out and playing guitar was something different. You know, the Balinese dance was the one that like piqued my interest when Raja was talking about it. Monet doing opera, like, the, you know, it's a whole different ball game, and it makes me think of Giselle Barbie Royale from Orlando mm-hmm. when she won the year she won Miss Continental. Her talent performance was her singing live, and it was operatic style. I don't know if it necessarily was opera, but it was so incredible.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And she's, you know, the complete opposite of Monet. She went into a higher, you know, a higher register. And but it was to hear Monet say, okay, I'm going to utilize my schooling. I was still waiting for her to do a Phi Mu Alpha shout out on Drag Race. But, you know, hearing those kinds of things make me excited to see what the performance is going to be. Even go back to All Stars 5 when Shay did the stripper pole, you know, the strip dance on the pole. Like, that's something a little bit different. That's something that's going to give me a little bit more of an idea of the other things you can do besides lip sync to your own song. Which then also leads to the ones who were quote unquote singing live, because even the ones who were singing live had microphones, did all that. I 99.9% certain we did not hear the live vocals. They play the track in the actual audio that we heard, because that way they would sound amazing, because obviously the recorded track is going to be so much better than a live version no matter what. Most of the time a recorded version is going to be better than the live version.
Right.
Even with Jinx's little extra piece at the end, I still feel like there was a switch over in the audio, and we got the recorded and then kind of the live bit at the end. But they are legendary queens. And we know that they're going to entertain us no matter what. So let's hit the runway. What did you think about Rue's look in this checkerboard cinched ensemble that she came out in?
I thought it was a lot of fun. It, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was a little not as glamour as she has been in previous episodes. It seemed a little more streetwear, which that's fine. Go all over the place with your looks. I liked it.
She said, I'm bringing you picnic realness. Let's go. Yeah, I thought it was cute. Definitely thought it was cute. We also have guest judge Hannah Einbinder. I don't know where she is from. I could possibly click on her name. And
she is the co-lead for Hacks with Jean Smart.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I forgot that Hacks was mentioned on the runway. She was fun. I liked her. She was definitely an entertaining personality on the judges panel, for sure.
I would say it's... I liked the variety of guest judges that they've had for mm-hmm. the season. I would say they haven't necessarily, and obviously this comes with getting schedules and all that kind of stuff, but I wouldn't say that the guest judges have lined up with exactly what their particular specialty has been with the challenge of the week.
You mean having a comedy person for the roast would have been too actually on the nose for what they do?
Right. I mean, like, I mean, Nikki Glaser was on earlier this season, when Nikki Glaser is basically known for, or came out, her career started by doing the roasts, and that's how she blew up. was from her roast stuff. So, again, not that Ronan Farrow was a bad judge. I liked some of his comments and whatnot, but I just think getting that, that's kind of the last X factor, because like, when, I'm going to butcher her name, Janixa Bravo.
Janixa Bravo. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was great. She was there for an acting challenge and was able to help direct, because I thought when it's just Rue or just Michelle doing the direction on some of those scenes, I don't think they've quite the nuanced direction that Ms. Bravo was able to give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely, some of the things definitely lined up, some of them definitely did not, but overall, I agree, the mix of guests this season has definitely been phenomenal, and I've enjoyed seeing the guest judges on the panel. I've enjoyed watching Untucked and seeing the interactions with the queens backstage. It's definitely been, this is definitely like one of my favorite seasons of Drag Race ever. Like this, and I think season six are probably tie in my mind for like the best Drag Race in my opinion, in my view. And this only has a little bit of an edge because it's all winners. They were given more time. They were given more leeway to bring things and have, it didn't have the same stipulations and kind of constraints that a normal season of even All Stars has. So it's phenomenal.
This is kind of like we just recorded another microsode about an MCU property, but to kind of analog it, this is kind of like the Avengers, where the best of the best are coming together and their powers are combining to create this great season
of mm-hmm. everything. Another one, thank you. a little Carrie Tranos Colby up in our podcast. So the variety show extravaganza has started. Who were some of your standout performances from the variety show?
Monet was fantastic. I loved the dichotomy of her singing bass but being in feminine drag. I thought that was mm-hmm. a great juxtaposition. While it is still undetermined if Shay had live vocals, I thought she performed it very well. Her dancing was interesting. The focus, at least for me, was never pulled by any of the backup dancers. It was a good song, in that good original song, in that I felt like it was a song I would listen to, and it wasn't Drag Race themed, in that a lot of the other original talent show songs in the past have all been very Drag Race focused. And so this was kind of a song you could hear out in the world or whatnot, and it wasn't made specifically for the show. And I just thought it was a better song than Vivian's song, who, again, that was an original song that wasn't written specifically for the show, but I just thought Shay's was a better song overall than Vivian's was. And I think Shay gave a better performance, and it felt more interesting as far as the dancing, the choreography, and everything than Vivian's. But Shay is more of a dancer than Vivian is. So it made sense. I thought I really liked Jinx, but I like Jinx performances. I like that I've seen her live shows a couple times, and it exactly was what I was expecting of Jinx. But again, it kind of, because it was Drag Race focused as an original song, it didn't pop as much as it could have. I really liked what Raja did in that I don't have a lot of exposure to Balinese dancing, and I thought it was great that it tied with her culture that she grew up with, and everything, and taught me more about who she is. I can't say if the dancing was perfect or not. It didn't seem as technical as going back to Gia when Gia performed hers. I don't know. I shouldn't compare the two. They're completely different dancing styles and everything. It left an impression on me, and I was happy to see it and happy to see her perform that. So yeah.
I mean, I agree with you. I loved, I wish that there was a little something more that they could have given the edit for Raja, because I really did enjoy it. I thought it was something so different, than we usually see, but it just, there wasn't a pop or a pizzazz that the edit usually will give a performance that they want to push. And they weren't trying to push Raja in this. So that was a little sad in my heart, because I really did enjoy it. I thought Shay's performance, I was questioning whether or not she was supposed to be singing live. She had a mic, like a head mic on.
And I feel like if she was just going to be lip syncing the track, she wouldn't have had the microphone on.
And this is why I say I don't think any of them, Monet, Shay, Jinx, Vivian, because those are the four that were potentially like singing live. I don't think we heard any live vocals at all from any of them, because they just sounded too good and too clean for a live performance. And there's been talk in the past about how production will do in both the takes, one take, because they do the talent shows twice. The first take will be with like the backing track that they provide with like 30% vocals. And then the other one will like be the instrumental. Mm-hmm. And if they want to make a girl look good, they will do they'll do the tape with the vocals, the backing track. And if they don't, they won't. And we see what we get to see. Where with this, I feel like they were just giving us all a recorded track over what we saw. Which I don't mind necessarily, because I want to see them all. Like, I want to see the best performance from them. But it also throws off what we're supposed to feel or how the performance actually went. I thought Shay's performance,
we aren't experiencing it in the moment in the room then.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. I did like Shay's performance though. It made me feel like a music video. It really felt like a full, real good quality production. I agree with you on Monet, you know, the juxtaposition of the bass and the corset and the dress and everything. And she looks stunning. And that is fucking talent. Just pure fucking talent. Jinx was good. Raja's dance, I thought it was really cute. The misdirect on Evie's performance.
Yeah.
Trinity's, I was just glad she did not do a song about tucking again. We've already seen that in the talent show in All Stars 4. And then Jada's was cute. But again, a lot of the girls that have put music out already, for the most part, have all done their songs that are callbacks to their catchphrases and their Drag Race journey. So somebody like Shay, Jinx going back to the well is a little bit different, because I mean she has at least two full albums out, so she could have done something a little bit.
I think hers was that she's made such a change in her life and everything from the time that she was on season 5 to now that she kind of wanted to address that in her song.
And that goes back to the point I had made earlier about her fan base and her shows are so different than the clubs and those types of performances. So I could see having a track like that. As far as things maybe could have been a little bit better, what are your... I mean, we kind of have been blending a little bit of that in our conversation so far, but any real standouts as far as things that maybe just didn't float your boat?
I mean, kind of when I was talking about the ones I liked, I didn't say anything about Trinity or Jada. Not that their performances were bad, and I think they would have been fine on a regular season of All Stars. And apart from Evie coming out with that misdirect, like you said, I don't think that their three were on the same level. And then even with the other five, I don't think that Vivian's was as good as the other four. Just because... I think the other three vocals, quote unquote, live vocals were much stronger than Vivian's was. And then Raja gave me something more interesting to look at and attach to. But Trinity and Jada just kind of sounded like that generic drag queen music that comes out after somebody's been on a season. Yeah. And it's because that isn't what they're trying to do in their career. So they haven't kind of evolved that to be more of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. And I know that Ginger Minj doesn't, you know, have the market on Southern, but it felt very much like more of a Ginger type of like comedy track with all of the Southernisms and the Southern slang. Yeah. And I know Trinity is super Southern as well, but it just didn't feel right coming from her as much.
How much of that is your personal bias though?
A lot of it, probably. A lot of it. I didn't think she was bad.
I thought it was cute, but it didn't do much for me at all.
Yeah, 100% agree. But I think you've kind of mentioned any of the things that probably I would have overlapped in feeling that way. I love Jinx. I didn't think this was the strongest performance for her. I thought it was good, but probably would have ranked fourth for me. Mm-hmm. Raja, it's really tough because I know the way that the storyline was going. I know where everything was at. Like Monet for me definitely took this hands down. Like I think she deserved her top two placement no matter what. I think Shay and Raja for me could be interchangeable. And I think it was all in the editing. I think it's all in what they showed us and wanted us to feel about these two performances. But I really loved the fact that Raja was something so unique and so different to what we normally see. And, this again on Raja's season, because I didn't watch it. Season 5 was the first season I watched live,
Okay.
I went back after moving into the palatial Rosevere estate. I went back and I watched the first four seasons and All-Stars. Because I don't think I watched that live. I think season five, because that was when I was living with Steven for the short time I was. And he was watching, so I watched it with him a bit. But I went back and I watched the first four seasons, and I was not a fan of Raja as a person. Great runways, deserving winner. You know, the queen that wins for a reason, and I'll never take that win away from anybody. I was very much an Alexis Mateo person in that season, or even possibly Manila.
I was definitely Team Manila when I was watching it live. Not that I ever thought Raja was bad. I thought she deserved to be in the finale, but I was definitely a Manila person.
Yeah, I think it was kind of like that underdog story with Alexis when I was watching it. And obviously, this is a couple of years after it happened, so I knew who won. Like, it wasn't like I thought anything was going to be different. But I think that was part of the reason I was kind of pushing more for Alexis, but definitely Manila as well, just being phenomenal that season. But I've come to really, really enjoy Raja after watching this season, and her telling that story about her family losing her for a little bit in the airport, and then finding her dancing in the, you know, in her dad, that being his favorite story to tell people, that melted my heart so much and made me, like, endeared me to Raja so incredibly much. And like, to see her telling that story and everybody like on the stage you know, just getting super emotional, and then bringing it back around to a joke to kind of like break the mood, it was just such an amazing piece of her story being put out there. And I just fucking fell in love with it. It was so good. And I'm so happy that Raja came back and did this season of Drag Race.
Yeah. Certainly. Yeah, that story was touching. And Evie coming back and in the critiques talking about how this was kind of her love letter to all the things that she can't do and future things she won't be able to do in the future. That this has kind of been like her last hurrah, as it were. I'm not saying that anything tragic is happening to her or anything, but just that she can't perform the way that she used to be able to perform. And
yeah, her body's not going to allow her to do the things that she's done and been able to do so far, and to lose that part of yourself is traumatic.
Yeah.
But after a lovely set of stories, comments, critiques, gushing, loving comments about their performances, the queens come back to the main stage to find out the top two All-Stars of the week, which we find out are Monet Exchange and Shea Kulea. Do you agree with the top two?
As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end.
Could you imagine if they had them do Old McDonald's again?
That would have been fantastic. yeah, I agree with the top two. Yeah,
they so were
really, really good, solid performances, I thought.
Like I said, yeah, I wasn't mad about it. Would I have liked to have seen Raja in there as well? Yeah, probably. But we knew this was coming. We knew there was going to be this twist. And a callback to something that Trinity said at the beginning of this episode. was extremely true. And I know that there's a whole lot of discussion online because, you know, people have a keyboard and a way to be able to say what they want to say in the world. And that's fine. We have this podcast and that's what we do. This is how we put our stuff out into the world. But talking about how, you know, it was just rigged and this was just production's way of putting Shay in the top. Thing is, Shay did not do bad this season. There was never a point where Shay was horrible this season.
No.
There were a lot of different points where she could have potentially been top two or you know, won a challenge. You know, this, as Trinity said, she, you know, it was, she wasn't gutter Shay. And no matter what had happened, she should be damn proud of what she did this season. And it's true.
Yeah, I mean, it just... it just, she just wasn't the top two in any of those weeks. It was never that she was in the bottom. Not that they ever officially had a bottom of anything. Apart from, if you're not in the top, you're in the bottom. Not that that was said on the season at all, but that's basically the way it was. She's been consistent in all the challenges. She never had a bad, I don't think she had a bad runway or a bad stumbling in any of the performances.
Yeah, I think maybe if anything, one of her weakest might have been Snatch Game, and we didn't see a lot of her in there. And I feel like they may have edited around that. But yeah, overall, she had a good showing for this season, but with this win, it propels her to a tie with Jinx for 4 stars earned. This puts Monet in the lead with 5 stars and also creates a tie for the 4th spot between Jada Essence Hall and Trinity the Tuck. So before we dive into what that means, the lip sync for this episode was a rehash from UK versus the World, which I must have just blocked out that whole thing.
I didn't remember this song being on a previous season. I was like, oh, that's a Kylie Minogue song I don't know.
Which I guess wasn't a great lip sync to begin with, because the running joke online is that Ru paid a lot of money for the rights to the song and she was going to get a good performance out of it if it killed her. But Monet and Shay lip sync to Supernova by Kylie Minogue. And Shay is declared the winner. Do you agree with Shay being the winner of this lip sync?
This was a lip sync that either one could have been announced and I would have been okay with. I don't think either one significantly performed better than the other. I liked what both of them did with it. I kind of thought it would go to Monet, being that the last time they lip synced against each other, Shay won that one as well. So I thought they would just kind of production-wise even it out, because nobody performed significantly better than the other, I thought. So
I think that Monet outperformed Shay. However, Monet did the thing that Monet does and was called out in an episode of The Pit Stop, and I forget by who at this point, but she did a lot of turning upstage and walking up to, or walking upstage, where the theory is that she doesn't know the words at that point, and that's why she turns her back and walks away. And there were a lot of those moments, and I think that was what sunk it for her, because Shay performed the song to the judges, where Monet was performing very well, and I thought she was doing a great job, but had a lot of those moments where she walked away and walked upstage. Yeah. The other thing that I will point out, did this outfit look familiar to you that Monet Exchange wore?
I did already see it looked familiar, but I have seen on Twitter that it's compared to her season, what, her first season promo look.
It's her season 10 promo look. The boots might be different. The shoes might be, because I think the shoes are different.
A little different. Yeah.
The wig is different. The wig is a fucking glow up compared to the pussycat wig that she wore in the promo. The hair looks sickening, but it's the same outfit with, I think, different shoes. Oh, but she looked fantastic. I fucking loved it. I absolutely loved it. So Shay's charity, the Period Project, I believe it is, wins $30,000. Shay wins 10. So Jinx is the most winningest money wise at this point with $32,500. Monet with, Vivian is next with $21,500. Shay with $20,000. And then Monet, Jada, and Raja all with $10,000. And poor Evie Oddly with $0. $0 won. So before they did this lip sync, this was a very interesting way that they did it. Because before they did the lip sync, they did the star standings. So Rue calls Monet, Shay, and Jinx forward and tells them they've secured their spot in the grand finale lip sync Lollapalooza SmackDown for the crown, the title of Queen of All Queens, and $200,000. Then tells the other four that more will be revealed later. We didn't get to a top four yet, my bad. And then says that Jada and Trinity are tied for the fourth spot with 3 stars. So Monet, with great power comes great responsibility, having 5 stars and the most of any of the girls, is tasked with choosing who she wants to invite to the lip sync Lollapalooza SmackDown, Jada or Trinity. They needed a payoff to the Twitter's alliance that has been permeating this entire season. Did you think it was going to go any other way than Monet choosing Trinity?
No. The second that RuPaul said it, I knew who was going to get chosen because of that, obviously. I think it was definitely some production, but I also think that RuPaul didn't want the blood on her hands.
Oh, that too. That's what All Stars is.
Yeah,
All Stars is no blood on Ru's hands, ever. Yeah. But I think this was production knew what they wanted to do. And I think that's part of the way, the reason that it fell the way that it did. The girls have to perform, but I think this was also, this is part of why I feel that the Trinity top two placement in the roast was needed, because this put her even with Jada. And I think there was, because all of this stuff is planned out in advance, as far as they have to clear the music, they have to clear all of these things, runway outfits, what they're going to be doing in the talent show, like all of these things are planned out in advance of filming. And I feel like production had a very mighty hand in playing a very specific game in these final couple of episodes. But hey, it makes for good television, because Monet picks her twinner, and
I think it generally surprised the girls.
Yes. Oh, for sure. I don't think they were expecting that twist to happen. Because if you look at like Jinx's face.
Yeah, you could see on everybody's face the surprise. And you also saw the resignation on Jada's face the second it was announced.
It was so sad. My heart broke for Jada right then and there. But we have our top four with Monet, Jinx, Shay, and Trinity. And at this point, Rue tells the other four queens they have not qualified for the lip sync Lollapalooza SmackDown, but more will be revealed in just a little bit. At which point, Vivian is like, really, I can't take no more. Honestly, she was ready to throw her fucking shoe at RuPaul. But we have the lip sync, which we talked about. And then at that point, the other queens are brought back to the stage and told that just because they're not lip syncing for that crown doesn't mean that they won't be lip syncing at all, for providing such amazing entertainment and showcasing their talent so well over the course of the 11 challenges. RuPaul would like to give back a little bit to them, and they will lip sync for the crown and the title of the queen of She Done Already Done Had Herses and $49,000. At which point Michelle Visage pulls another grand out of her titties and says, "All right, I'm in." And Rue corrects herself and says, $50,000. I honestly wanted her to be like, Michelle, it is summer. We do not take titty money here. Can you please get me some fresh dollar bills? They did not go that route, but that was my first thought was, ma'am, we don't accept titty money.
I thought it would have been a lot funnier to leave it at $49,000 or Michelle just give a single dollar. I'll tip a dollar too. And
could you fucking imagine? Could you imagine? Oh my God.
But you know, $1, that's a lot of fucking money.
A year's supply of Raven's ammonia. Oh my God. So, with this twist, what are your thoughts on this twist?
They needed to fill an episode. They needed to have a reason for the four girls to stay around for another episode. Because you can't just have them sitting in director's chairs on the side watching three lip syncs and that be it.
Because they'd be like, fuck this shit, we out.
Exactly. I like it. And yes, it's because to get to the She's Done Already Had Hers as crown, they still have to win two lip syncs to get there. But so the winner of that wins $50,000. The winner of the Queen of All Queens gets $200,000. What does the second, third, and fourth place people get? Nothing?
Nothing. Not a damn bit of money. They said, fuck second through fourth. Fuck sixth through eighth.
Yeah.
If you don't come in first in one of these brackets, you won't get nothing.
So, I mean, that's a little here there, but I'm glad it'll give them something to do and a reason to still feel invested in using some of these lip sync outfits that obviously all of them had prepared for every single episode.
They had so many outfits because they almost all of them changed in almost every episode before the lip sync. There's so many looks.
Well,
so
I mean, there was a lot of episodes where it was questionable who the actual top two were going to be. So nobody knew. And they're like, well, I want to lip sync in something more comfortable. So, yeah. And everybody just decided, oh, it's going to be me. I'm going to change.
Well, and the funny part is, I think it was Untucked for the last episode. Maybe the roast. Maybe it was the one before. But it was like, I think Shay and Monet talking, and they were like, I'm on change again. I'm like, but I better be in the top because I keep on changing. I'm going to go out there looking like Boo Boo the Fool, thinking that I'm the one up at the top and not lip sync. It was just like, oh. Yeah, which was nice when they all were changing because it kind of gave a little bit of a different feel. But yeah, I mean, there were so many times when they all did so well that it really could have been anybody's game.
And at least from what we saw, obviously it's edited down, but from at least what we saw, there weren't really any purely negative critiques given out by the judges.
Oh, yeah. Apparently they were there. We just didn't see them.
Yeah.
Trinity has talked about that, apparently, that they got, like, real critiques on the stage. They just did not air any of those.
Which, I mean, but it's understandable because they have to be nitty gritty and they're there to judge and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
For the feeling that the producers are going for, I understand why all that was edited out.
Yeah, for sure. But I think I get where you're coming from with the, like, you know, what a second through fourth and then sixth through eighth, you know, what do they get? But I love the fact that there is something for the four that don't technically qualify. And I wanna see these girls lip sync. I'm so excited for what this finale is gonna be. But before we wrap up,
I feel so bad for, listen, she's a winner. She won her season. She's immensely talented, obviously, by all of the things that she's done on this season. But it's going to be so heartbreaking when Jinx doesn't win the whole thing because she doesn't know the words to a Nicki Minaj song.
For $200,000, you know that bitch has been listening to those songs on repeat whenever there is some time to spare. You know that for a fact. There's no way that, like, you would not be prepared for this.
And I mean, granted, she has won two lip syncs thus far in the season. I'm just saying she is not known for her lip syncing abilities.
She won three. She's at over $30,000.
Okay. What was the third one she won? Because I can think of two.
Let's see. She won.
She won the one last week.
She won the Snatch Game. She won that lip sync in the Snatch Game against Trinity.
Oh, and she beat episode Raja
five.
In
yes.
For the Draguation episode. Okay.
Draguation. And then she won the roast against Trinity again. Yeah, she lost to Monet and she lost to Vivian. Those were the two out of the five wins that she lost. Which technically, out of five, six, seven, out of seven lip syncs on Drag Race, she's only lost two. Mm-hmm. Because technically that she won against Detox, and then she technically won the final lip sync at the end of, like, the, you know, the one before the live finale, because she won the season.
I just see it coming down to Shay and Monet.
I was gonna say, well, that was gonna be the next thing. I was gonna say, before we sign off, who do you see at the top two? So Shay and Monet your picks?
Does that mean that production is gonna put them against each other in the semifinals?
Maybe. I mean it's a spin of the wheel, Eric.
The what?
It's a spin of the wheel that's going to choose who goes against
who. It's not rigged in any way, shape, or form.
Never. Never. But now that we have this twist, so that is that is the question I've asked everybody on all of our previous recaps. Now I get to ask you this very special question, because now there is a second question to ask. Who do you see as the top two of the She Done Already Done Had Herses contest?
I think it'll come down to who do I want to see or who do I think it's going to be? Because those are two different answers.
Who do you want to see at the top of
I would like to see it be Raja and Evie is who I would like. Okay. Just because those are the two I like more. I think it's going to be Jada and Vivian, though. I think they're stronger all around lip syncers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to
probably Jada pulling it out over Vivian.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to my, I mean, I've been pretty consistent all season. Jinx and Monet is my top two at the end of that bracket, competing for the crown. With this new bracket, I want to see Raja and Jada. I think it will end up being Jada and Evie. And in the top four, as long as Trinity doesn't win, I'm okay with any of the other three winning the crown. I am horrible. I know that. But that's how I feel. But we will find out, dear listeners, next week, next Friday, we will get the finale. I think I'm actually not going to watch the episode at home. I think I'm going to try to venture out to a bar establishment and watch.
Gosh, you're not going to look at social media at all on next Friday?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I really want to be in the environment of, like, but yeah, that shit starts coming out. Those spoilers start coming out real quick. And then there's articles. And so not even like on social media, just my Google like search recommendations will be like, this person's the winner of Drag Race All Stars. And it's like, fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, like it was, I think, 9 o'clock in the morning. And the first, and I saw the first mention of something that happened on the episode on Twitter. And it wasn't necessarily a spoiler. It was just, it was just somebody saying they should give Shay 12 stars for what she did in the talent show, which isn't spoiling necessarily that she won, just that she, somebody liked what she did a lot. But
yeah, because I mean, 3 o'clock Eastern, midnight Pacific is when the episode drops. And at that point, people are watching and just fucking going online and tweeting shit out. And it's like, ma'am, calm the fuck down. Let some people have a day before we start talking about it. But I don't know. I would like to go and be a part of that kind of vibe and that energy because it's been so long. But we'll see. We'll see if I can get to it. I don't know. But dear listeners, we'll be back next week with a recap, our final recap of the finale of All-Star Season 7. Eric, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. Dear listeners, if you are so inclined, go check out our website at flameonshow.com. You can find our social media, our Twitch channels, our YouTube, where you can email myself and Eric or reach out to us online. And you can also find a link to our Threadless shop where you can be like Jamie and buy some Flame On swag, or you can just be like Jamie and send me presents because they make me happy either which way. And there's also a link to our Patreon. If you would like to go to our Patreon directly, that's patreon.com/flameonshow. And you can join at any of the four levels that we have available for you. Lots of great content. And you help keep us doing what we do and enjoy doing for you. So until next time, dear listeners, bye, bitch.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.